information.
Thank you. We'll call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Monday, March 25th, 2013 at 6:30. And roll call. Perillo?
Here.
Retzloff?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Rope?
Here.
Copperrood?
Copperrood.
Copperrood. I'll get it right. Welcome. Trustee Dart?
Here.
And myself. I said you right. I got everybody. Excellent. We're all here. Item number two. Let's review the agenda. Any modifications?
Move to approve.
Moved by Retzloff. Is there a second? Second, Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Moving on, agenda topic three, minutes from the February 25th, 2013 meeting. Take a minute to review. I hope everyone's had a chance to review prior to the meeting. I have one potential change. I know topic three, seeing I was chairing the meeting, I probably didn't make the second. So I'm thinking somebody else did, if I remember right. I'm talented, but I'm not quite that talented. So I don't know if anyone has a recollection from the meeting who that was. It probably was you.
Probably me.
So maybe we change that to Trustee Dart. Is there any other comments that anyone else has? Roger, didn't you? You actually took the minutes, didn't you, last?
Yeah.
So it should
but
be.
I gave them away.
Oh, you gave them away. So, okay, we'll give Tracy the credit, but thank you, Roger, for taking such detailed minutes last month. So. Is there any comments? Changes? You can't say too much, Roger, because you wrote them. So.
Well, no, I just wrote down simple bullet statements, and someone added a bit of texture here. So.
Oh.
No, I think, I didn't see anything. I would accept it.
Then I would accept a motion.
Move to approve.
Moved by Retzloff.
Second.
All right, second Hanson. One raised a hand. You did it right, but we'll give Hanson the credit. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Moving on, number four. Craig, do you have any announcements?
I think in your packet was the sheet on the planner's web, which is an internet planning tool. Tracy was going to make copies of that.
Okay.
Should be this one. I think this is something that you had to ask about at an earlier meeting. The Planner's Web is a resource tool for planning commissions and planners. It's $95 a year. That's the minimum charge. If you would like that, and if it would be used by a number of you on the commission, the village would set that up and register you. If you don't think you use it, then you won't register. It's not a huge cost, but it's one of those things. If you use it, it's worthwhile. If not, well, then it's not so much. It is a resource tool, and it's got all kinds of articles. It's on the internet. You can access it for all kinds of information.
How about, because a lot of us just are seeing this now, how about we defer it till, and I guess I challenge the Plan Commission, everybody take a look at it in your spare time if you think it's useful, and we'll do a thumbs up or down for next month. So, Sherry, if we could add this membership discussion for the next month meeting, I'd appreciate it. Anything else, Craig?
If this, I can make a comment about that. I recommended this.
Okay.
Because I was looking for resources on how to address some of the issues we deal with, and found this particular site. So I thought it was pretty economical, considering all of us could be on for the $95 and have full access to all of the articles that are there. So it's you can go online and see abstracts of the articles that they have. So
I think that information is...
And I know we've been talking about this for a long time, so thank you to Craig and Tracy for researching that. Craig, you get the credit just for being the messenger here tonight. There you go. Is there any other announcements that anyone else has? Hearing none, we'll move on to public appearances. Any public appearances? Just Cole Runge from the Brown County Planning Commission, and that's a great segue into agenda topic 6. And first of all, welcome, Cole. Thanks for coming. Tonight, at our last meeting, there was a discussion about the comprehensive plan update and just what was done in the past with the comprehensive plan when it was adopted back in 2003, and then also what's the process for an update, what's required of an update. So who better than Cole, because Cole, you've been involved with a lot of the comprehensive plans for most of Brown County except for a few communities. So we can run this pretty informal if you want to lead a discussion of this, and then if you are you open to questions along the way?
Absolutely, yeah. Whenever you have any questions or comments, just let me know, okay? Yes, Chris mentioned, just a little background, I was the manager of the plan that was developed in 2003, and the information you have in your packet, I believe, was sent to you. It was an excerpt from Chapter 1. We also had a couple of appendices.
Okay.
I thought that those were pretty good descriptions of the process that was followed about 10 years ago to create the plan. Okay. Which is why I asked Tracy to send those out before the meeting tonight. So hopefully you had a chance to take a look at that stuff. But what I can do real quickly is just briefly talk about the process we went through for that part, for that planning effort, and then we can talk about some things you may have to do if you want to update the existing plan. Okay, so appendix B that was sent to you is the public participation process for the plan. Now, if you're doing a brand new plan or an update, this is something you actually have to adopt by resolution of the planning commission and then adopt then at the village board. Okay, before the process really kicks off. So then, because the idea is to let the public know exactly the process you're going to follow and what opportunities they'll have for input to your update or your branding plan, okay? So this two-page description really is what we did. To begin, what we did is we formed a citizens advisory committee, and what we did is ask the village to do that itself. We didn't want to pick anybody. What we do when we do these plans is we want to make sure it's the community's plan. We'll help facilitate the process. We'll walk people through it. We'll provide certain guidance and things like that as far as planning principles go, but really it's up to the village to create its plan with our plan, okay? So we started by creating that committee, and if I remember right, that committee met, I think, 12 times over 17 months, and all of these are advertised and open to the public. So if you're not at the committee, you can still come in and participate. That's what we're doing. After that was formed, we created a flyer, and I don't have a copy of it right now because I think it disappeared into the ethernet a long time ago, but I wanted to show it to you today, but we don't have it anymore. But what we did is we created a flyer. It was a front-and-back flyer that was sent to every household in the village, which basically summarized the process we're going to go through, invited people to a community-wide visioning session, which is something else we'll talk about in a second, and that was held at Greenhouse Park in summer. And it was 2002. And I had a brief opportunity for people to fill out a survey, and we could send it back in with another call, and we would include that as a part of our goals and objectives development process. Okay. So, once we had the flyer out, we gave people a chance to kind of digest that information, and then we held our visioning session over at Greenhouse Park. And I think in Chapter 1, maybe the first we get into that, there are a couple of pictures of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the turnout was roughly 80 to 100 people, which for the shelter is pretty tough, so it's pretty good turnout.
You can pass it down that way. We have the black and white version, but it's still a picture.
So what we did at the visioning session is we used what was called a nominal group process. And what we did then is we asked everyone, so we could split people in groups of roughly 8 to 10 people. And each group had a facilitator, a staff person for our planning. What that person did is just went around the table and saw input with each of those participants. And at the end of that process, we put all of our flip charts we created up at the front. We completely went through and eliminated duplicates. And when we came down with our duplicates, we had what was left, and that was what formed the basis of the plan. and help us to create the goals and objectives that eventually form the foundation of what we do with this. Okay? So I think in chapter one, we also included a lot of the top issues identified at the visioning session in order. And a lot of those were incorporated into the comprehensive planning of this day. At the time, we were still doing stakeholder interviews, and we worked with the village administration to identify people that we wanted to talk to at the beginning of the process. Typically, we talked to the village board members, and we talked to some of the staff, and we talked to some business people and others in the community. Now, as you go forward, we kind of got away from that after a while because we were concerned we might have a walking quorum if we did that with all the village board members or more than half of them. So we kind of stopped doing that after this process. But in spite of that, it was still a very valuable exercise. And if you can get those people engaged in the process early, it's very important. That's very good at the end.
Cole, just a question on that. What about for an update? Would you go through that effort to reach out to stakeholders, or is that a little bit above and beyond?
It kind of depends on the extent to which you want to go. And I can touch on that in a second.
Sure, that's fine.
But it's a good question, and it gets into how extensive an update you want to do. Okay? On the second page of this appendix, we talk about the open house meeting, we had a public hearing, and then we had a parcel RFP. At the time, it was the Zoning and Planning Committee, now the Planning Commission, and then the Village Board adoption. Okay? So, when it comes to an update, really the extent of your update is up to you. But there are a handful of things you have to do to meet the law. Okay? One is, if you're going to do a full update, you have to go through and you have to adopt the Planning Commission by resolution, and then as an ordinance, it's not an ordinance, as you might know an ordinance, but it's adopted as an ordinance at the village board level, that public participation process. So you have to develop it at the beginning, approve it at the beginning, so the public knows what you're going to do. Okay? From that point on, it's really up to you. You can go through and you can go chapter by chapter. You can throw the whole thing out and start all over again and go through a similar process. You can just look at what you have, tweak what you want to tweak, and then go through the adoption process. It's really up to you. Now, my impression is, based on what I've heard from Eric Schutte and dealing with the community over the last 10 years, is by and large, the community seems pretty satisfied with the plan it has. And if I'm correct, I believe that the village has gone through some updating efforts over the last 2 or 3 years.
That's correct.
Okay. So with that in mind, what you might want to do, and this is just a suggestion, is if you're satisfied with the plan for the most part at this point, you may want to go through it and make sure you still are satisfied with it. Okay? You might want to add a few things, like I don't believe the TIF district discussion is in the current plan or the update.
In the update, I believe the administrator did add that.
She did.
But we are going to have to take a step back here because I'm the only member, that, besides Trustee Dart, that participated in the update process from a few years ago. So we are going to have to do some internal review of it just to make sure all the members agree with or know what the comprehensive plan has.
Okay, all right. Well, before I move on, I should say, too, if you do want to do a full update, after you adopt the public participation process and go through the update process you choose, you adopt it the same way you would adopt a full plan. So basically, you would hold a 30-day review period in which you would hold a public hearing at some point during that period. You would then have the Planning Commission recommend adoption by resolution, and then the Village Board would adopt it as an ordinance. Okay? Kind of the same as the full plan before. But that's it. Public participation process, adoption at the beginning, the formal adoption process at the end, and in between, it's pretty much up to you.
See, and I think, now I don't remember this, if the public participation plan was updated up front when we started to go through this process. I don't remember. That might have happened outside the Plan Commission. But we should check and make sure that's been done. And that's something Aaron Schutte, when he was here, he mentioned, have you guys done that? You should make sure of that.
Right. So I guess recall that we did do that. That was like 5 years. Well, it must have been when the plan was 5 years old. And I was just first on the board. But we had tables with all the different names of each group. And we held public participation. But we didn't get a very big turnout.
Public was involved, but I think this is correct. I don't think there was a board resolution initiating the process to clearly define the public participation. But we did do the public participation.
Right.
There were a number of meetings. There were some committees that worked on it.
But we should probably check on that just for validity purposes. And if we can't prove it, we should do that again. But yes. But as far as I don't think, and I don't want to speak for Trustee Dart, that was a pretty exhaustive process. I mean, a lot of people reviewed that. And I know Administrator Flukey has said, boy, we don't want to start over and start from square one. We want to build upon the energy that we've had. Now, if there's some things, you can always update a plan and update a plan and update a plan. We don't want to do that. But at the same time, if there's some obvious things that we missed, we do want to have some public participation as part of this process.
Another option you can consider is if you look at your plan and you think that it's pretty much set, that you just want to tweak a couple things, you can do an amendment. So it's not a full update. You can just amend your plan. And that's basically, you don't have to then do the formal public participation process document at the beginning. You do your amendment, but then you would go through your formal adoption process at the end, where you have your review period, your public hearing, the recommendation for adoption by resolution by the Planning Commission, and then the adoption as an ordinance by the Village Board. So that's another option to consider. Now, I guess one other thing to consider is, again, if you feel, for the most part, pretty comfortable with your plan, the next step really is then to make your ordinances, your codes, consistent with the recommendations. Now, I know Aaron's going to be here next month to talk about his update of the site review ordinance. Okay? But you also have your zoning code, you have other codes in the village, and really the intent of the process is to create your plan as your overall document. And once you're satisfied with that, you move on to your implementation tools. Okay? So it sounds like you're starting to do that, and at this point, in addition to maybe looking at maybe tweaking your plan at this point, you may want to consider then devoting a lot of energy to making sure your implementation tools are up to date and consistent with your plan. So site reviews next month. I want to take a good look at your zoning code and your subdivision ordinance just to make sure everything's consistent. And then focus on those as your tools to develop your village.
And ironically, later on in the agenda, we're going to talk about discussion of tasks for 2013. What do we as a Planning Commission want or hope to accomplish in 2013? Or maybe there's some tasks that are too large, but put on a radar screen for future years.
And it's something where, you know, a lot of the stuff can't be done in 1 year, right? But as long as you start the process now, again, if you're comfortable with your plan, or in a few months you're all set and comfortable with it, then I would really have to focus on your implementation tools. And, you know, it can't be done necessarily in 1 year, but it's something that you could work on over the next couple of years that I think would really pay off.
Trustee Dart.
If people were going to redo their comprehensive plan, I mean, normally, wouldn't it be if there was something drastic that changed in their community? Because our community has been relatively stable, the same. You know, there's not a lot of change here. There's nothing that would really force a new comprehensive plan.
Well, it varies. We have done some updates over the last few years. As an example, we did the CURES update about 2-3 years ago. That was a fairly extensive update, but it wasn't as extensive as the initial planning process. Okay, so we spent probably about 10 months on that, but we didn't throw everything out. We just took what they had, and we went chapter by chapter and made sure that they were comfortable with everything they had at that point. Everything was updated, the census data were updated, and everything else. But it sounds like that's already been done for the building.
But in De Pere, you also added stuff like a bicycle pedestrian element and some a little more detail than what was in the original plan.
Correct. So we have our 9 elements that we had in our chapter 1 that we handed out before. We updated those 9 elements, those 9 chapters, and like Chris said, we did add a 10th chapter, which is a bicycle and pedestrian plan, which was referenced a little bit in the initial chapter 3 transportation for the original plan, but there was no standalone plan for that, so we added that, which took a little bit longer. Another example is we did the town of Eaton's updates. That was about 3 meetings of the Planning Commission and Board. They went about 3 chapters in a meeting, went through boom, 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 tweaked some stuff, and adopted. So, again, it's really up to you to determine how far you're going to go.
Any other questions at this point?
In the town of Eaton that you just described, those meetings that they had, were those public meetings? Were those the public process?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Aaron Schutte helped them out with that. And they were open to public. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, whenever you have these meetings to discuss your updates, you would advertise them and invite the public in to participate if they chose to. But the extent of that update is up to you.
So it seems as if we were going to follow that process, we'd have to develop a schedule and inform the public of, you know, what portions of the plan we're going to update at what meeting, or what we're going to look at each meeting.
And I believe that was not done, but maybe it happened outside the Zoning and Planning Committee, and we just never heard about it, but I would have thought we would have heard about it. So that's something we need to check on. What is the state of the public participation plan for the update? I guess the other thing, Cole, that you had talked about was the amendment idea. And that's something Cole and I talked a week or so ago about this. When we go through, for the last 2 years, we have done a plan. Basically, we've done it for a number of reasons, but we've basically come up with a report. What have we done in the last year? And it might be very useful, rather than waiting 5 years to update it, or 10 years, or whatever the time that's we wait, we could almost do the amendment route every year or every other year, depending on how much change there was in the village at that time. So that's something we can, instead of waiting for this, I mean, we might want to do this more of a yearly check-in, but we can decide that and have further discussion later. I guess one thing that we've talked about, I know Adam has talked about involving the public, and that's something, it's one thing we can say, yeah, we're going to have a public meeting, yeah, we're going to advertise it, but it's one thing to hold a meeting, and it's another to get people to actually show up and engage them. I guess and this is myself thinking this, not as a chair, but just as an individual, I would like to have some sort of a meeting, at least where we have some interaction, where maybe we have some of the maps from the comprehensive plan, and we talk, versus just showing up and saying, what are your thoughts? Thanks a lot. See ya. So, and I know that was done for the kickoff, but at the same time, I don't want to start over either. I want to just refamiliarize the citizens of Alloway, what their comprehensive plan has and where we're going in the future, especially with the TIP district.
Yep. I think that would be good. And as you can see in here during our process, about three-quarters of the way through, we had a couple of the house meetings. And at that point, we had some kind of information to show the public, so we invited them in at a couple of different locations to show them what we've put together so far and to get their input on that.
And I don't know if this is something... Oh, go ahead, Roger.
How do we... there are other plans out there that are more regionally based. I think, isn't there... Are there county-level plans of some sort, transportation plans and stuff like that? How do we justify our comprehensive plan with what is being addressed at the county or regional level?
Well, the way we handle the county planning process is we didn't want to create a county plan that imposed things on communities. Because the communities, while we did our county plan, the communities were doing their own plan. So what we decided to do was to create kind of a toolbox approach to creating a regional plan. For instance, the land use plan that's in the county plan reflects all the individual land use plans of the communities that did the current plans. Okay? So we weren't going to impose any land uses on these communities. We relied on them to give those to us. So we don't have a whole lot of specifics in the county plan for communities. The specifics pertain to county facilities, county highways, and other aspects of the county itself. But what we did for the communities is we suggested, we encouraged, we created kind of a menu from which to choose from these communities as far as development patterns or street designs or all sorts of different things like that. So every community plan in Brown County is really consistent with the regional plan because we tailored that. Yeah.
I also wanted to mention, I don't remember what this was called, the waterfront redevelopment.
Yeah.
And any communities that were in the area of the redevelopment, people were invited to take part in that planning process. Mm-hmm. So I was on that committee representing Alloway. Mm-hmm. So that the comprehensive plan and those plans fit together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the nice things about doing pretty much all the comprehensive plans in Brown County, with the exception of, I think, four, is we were able to coordinate all those planning efforts over about a 6 or 7 year period. So again, everything fits together pretty well. And The four plans we didn't do, we participated on committees and we commented and stuff, so there is some consistency there as well, but they all fit together pretty well.
Cole, for an update, is there a requirement, like during the original plan, there's an intergovernmental cooperation element. So you have school districts, neighboring communities, agencies. Is there anything like a best practice or a courtesy, or it's an update's an update and you just do your own thing and move on?
I think it's that. You can do what you choose. It's always good to talk to your neighbors, figure out what they're up to, find out what they plan to do in the future. If they're going to do an update, you may want to coordinate your efforts with your neighbors. But if you have issues, common issues, like fire response, for instance, it's a good time to really reach out and discuss those issues.
So it might be good, maybe if there's no issues with the peer, maybe we don't reach out to them unless there's something I can't think of, but we may have issues with Green Bay depending on if we have a vision for a TIF district and how we want to redevelop Webster heading into the city of Green Bay. It might make sense to sit down with them and say, this is our plans, what are you guys thinking about?
And I think, am I right that there is a county plan to redevelop Webster Street at a later point?
Oh, to reconstruct it?
Reconstruct. Not Webster Street itself, but that area has been looked at. But they said it, I don't remember who said this, but it was when we first started talking about our TIF district, and we were wondering if anything else is going to happen on that side of Webster, the north side. But there was nothing really new, but there was some ideas, I think, out there.
Are you talking like in the city of Green Bay?
Yes, could be city.
The city's plan was adopted in 2002, and I think they're in the process, they're going to start updating that very soon, which might be of interest. But I think when that plan was done, one of the areas they were looking to redevelop was the Webster border. So I think that's probably right. I think that's still.
It was quite some time ago.
Yep. So I think your plan was adopted just about 2 years or 4 years.
Is there any way of comprehensive plan update making assessments of how well we've achieved the objectives? It seems like in the markups that I've been reading that we're just kind of editing the line where some objective is part of the plan, and so we've achieved this, so it's either struck altogether or some aspect of how it was achieved. But there's no sense of the quality of how well something has been achieved. Or if new influences that have occurred in the last decade are putting pressures on some of our objectives.
Well, I think when you take a look at your plan again, you may want to take a real close look at your goals and objectives. And not just for what's still relevant and what may no longer be relevant, but you may want to make them more specific and make them based more on performance measurements. And so, because I know when we did the plan 10 years ago, we didn't have a lot of specific performance measurements in the objectives. So again, that's something you may want to take a look at and make them a little more specific. Yeah. And try to identify specific things you want to achieve over a year, 5 years, 10 years. And then you can track that progress over that time.
I do know as part of the update process, if we all turn, it doesn't have a page number, but on the under Chapter 1, Issues and Opportunities, the third page with the big list. We actually looked at that list that came from the community meetings, like solving the drinking water problem. Right, Craig? That's been a major issue for a long time. And so that's been resolved. So if you read through this list, a lot of the big things have been taken care of. But at the same time, some things are not defined. Like number 7, the village needs better zoning enforcement. What's better? I don't know what better is. You went out once a month, twice a month, three times a month. So there are some things that there isn't a performance measurement, but there's other things, like right now the village is working on number 26. They're working on widening the East River Trail. So there are a number of things, like the business needs. I wrote down the TIF district. Number 8, the village should increase the number of services it shares with surrounding communities, the fire department. So if I go through this list, I say, hey, the village hasn't done a bad job since 2003 implementing a lot of what the public had said. Now, I don't know how well it's measured. When we went through the process, if I remember right, we said to highlight some of those things, but I'd have to look back on how we documented it.
Part of what I'm getting at is maybe we should look at some way of establishing a performance goal for some of the objectives. Not all of them, but there might be some that have a lot to do with the overall character of the community and maybe are more important in that aspect. And I think we should just understand what those are, because they're the things we should pay attention to every time we meet and an applicant comes here seeking to do work in the community.
I think that applies perfectly, like number two, the village should build a stronger tax base through future development, and the tax rate should remain low. Well, we talk about how many non-profit properties are in Alloway.
So we keep a low tax rate.
Correct. So we could maybe, I mean, there's a few ones, and maybe we can have discussion later on when we get down to discussion tasks for 2013 under agenda topic 12 tonight. But I think that's a good idea. I don't know exactly how we tie that in. I mean, we can't do every one, but maybe we pick a certain number of these and say we need to come up with some performance measures for them.
Yeah, one of the things we discussed during that initial process was how to increase the tax base with all the untaxable property in the village. And there are ways to do it. I mean, you know, some of the land can't be taxed, but in some cases you can put a building on that land and you can tax the building itself. So we did discuss things like that. But I think the TIF district is a real positive step in that direction. And I think as you proceed with that, you're going to find that over time will pay off.
Go ahead.
I'm in favor of metrics also whenever it's somewhat, when even number 30 there, the village should retain its existing green space, and that one should be pretty simple. We should know how much green space we have, and we should know whether it's disappearing or increasing. I don't know, maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but I think...
Well, and that's one where I have a real concern over the qualitative nature of our, and the accessibility of our green space. Mm-hmm. Because when you really, really look at the community, how much of that green space is within walking distance of everyone's home?
And
I think you'll find it's a fairly low percentage.
Might limit accessibility even more to some parts, some green spaces.
Well, if we see, say, green space across the street, it was vacant. Now, Harry Mako has a development. Is that, did we lose green space? Maybe we didn't keep or retain the existing green space. So,
and what we discussed too is not just the amount of green space. We put this is what we got from the public, and we put this, and that's helped us create the goals and objectives that are mentioned a little bit later in the plan. But we talked about the amount of green space, but then access to it. So, as you know, there are barriers that run north and south, typically in Alloway, between where some of the people live and some of the recreational facilities and parks, specifically Riverside, and to an extent, Webster. And so, after this was done, we did actually work with the village to try to figure out ways to minimize those barriers. And I think they're in the process of doing that now with Riverside. And perhaps in the future, we'll have an opportunity to do that with Webster as well.
Well, and some things like East River Trail, it didn't used to go into Ledgeview or DePere. So now that there's these neighboring trails since 2003, the East River used to be a barrier to get out to Bellevue or some of the other communities. So there have been some improvements. And I think maybe what we need to do is go back and look at the goals and objectives of each of the chapters and start there. I mean, we can use this list also to factor in, but maybe that's a starting point that we as a planning commission can go in.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm not in favor of starting over. It's more, let's look at what we have, and maybe there's some ways that make sense how we can measure it. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to say, yeah, we did a better job. Well, what's that mean? Because eventually we're going to need to do an update again. So hopefully we can, a little bit more data in some of these areas would be helpful.
Yeah, and maybe at this point we can establish a process that makes future updates a little more efficient.
And that's part of the reason why I'm open to the idea of maybe doing the amendment process at the end of the year or every other year or something like that, rather than waiting for 5 years and then you have nobody left that was involved in the planning process. I mean, we have nobody that was involved in the 2003 comprehensive plan. Craig, were you here in 2003?
Well, I was involved in the update that was done about 3 years ago.
Right.
Because we did go through,
yep,
sentence by sentence through the whole thing and do as much update as we could, along with the village board, under the village board guidance.
And the point...
The time we had invited the public in, that's when we did.
And see, we did the same. We'd have a special meeting every month. We'd have a regular meeting, and then we'd meet in the back. And we went through, we must have done it 6 months. We just go through a couple chapters in, on night and keep going. So I think that's helpful. Is there any other questions the Plan Commission has for Cole on the update process? What's needed to be included or not included?
I had a...
Yes?
Silly question about the, one of the phrases in Trevor's memo where he's quoting the compensation of requiring updating the community's comprehensive plan no more than once every 10 years. Am I misunderstanding that? That means you can only do it once every 10 years?
Oh, I don't think that's correct.
That's not correct. You can update it as often as you
think so.
It's just what the statutes say is you should do an update at least after 5 years. Take a good look at it, do an update after 5 years. After 10 years, the statute says you really should take a real close look at it and perhaps do a significant modification. So, no, you can do it as often as you want. I would encourage you not to do it too often. but it's something that you can do as often as you want.
I always assume that. I just read it literally, and it said,
basically, if you've done nothing with your plan after 10 years, you need to do something.
Yep.
Take a close look at it and modify it, if necessary.
Any other questions for Cole?
A question maybe more for you. When it was when they took a look at that a few years ago and updated that and went through sentence by sentence, was that adopted then?
No, it was not adopted.
Okay.
No. No, I don't know why. I mean, we weren't always strong in the planning part. When we started, we were planning and zoning committee, but we did 90% of zoning. So I don't know why that didn't follow through to adoption.
I think a couple things happened at that time. I think we were changing the village administrator, right?
Yes.
And, well, Tracy couldn't just jump in and do that. And it was right when Sue was going out. So, and then the Planning Commission was going through changes and they wanted to look at it more closely. As far as the board thought, I think they thought we were done. We held our meetings, the staff changed it, then they, and this is probably in reverse, then they sent it to Planning Commission. Actually, Planning Commission probably should have looked at it and sent it to the board.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, it wasn't functioning quite that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what happened. Does that make sense, Craig?
That's right.
Yeah.
I think you have a better sense right now for the process, which is if you're going to do the amendment, you set up the public participation procedure so that that's formal, and then you go through your addition to your amendment, your update, and then it finally gets approved. It's a recommendation from the commission to the board approves it, and then you have your amendment. And we talked about this before the meeting, and from a staff standpoint, we are more in favor of the amendment or the update at this point in time, because that will set the stage for knowing when you need to do the bigger update overall. You'll have a better sense of what's in the plan and when that plan overall needs a much more detailed update.
Mm-hmm.
Which might be, you know, at the 10-year interval or the 11-year interval or whatever it might be. But there are some things that are out there right now that should get into the plan sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
I do also think that the plan commissions, I mean, we need to put some effort into the comprehensive plan, but I think it would be more important that we look at what Cole was talking about, the zoning codes, to make sure they represent what we want to happen in the comprehensive plan. And that conversation is, I've had that several times. We've talked about that several times. When we went to the UWGB presentation of comparing our zoning and our comprehensive plan, they were quite pleased with the comprehensive plan, but they said the zoning isn't going to allow us to achieve our goals. So I think our effort needs to be more on getting the tools to achieve the goals in the comprehensive plan.
But somehow, since we're supposed to we're responsible for those tools also, at least for preparing them so that the village board can approve them. We're going to have to know what's in the comprehensive plan as a body to be able to update those tools also. So, you know, somehow we have to organize this process so that we all become well enough informed of the plan. And right now, I don't think we don't even have a plan that has attached maps that we can read, you know, that each one of us can take and read. So I think we need to resolve, you know, how we get that information.
That's a good point. I'm not sure where Trevor, the intern, left that. He had tried sending a electronic version and
right,
it was deemed
I've
too small.
That,
yeah, no one could use it or read it. I don't know. He was going to try new stuff. Did he do
he
that?
Did try a new one. It's the same process. You need to log in. You need to get your own account, and it's a free account. But even so, it's still hard to read. There isn't a process for adding edits that other people can read that I know of. I've been trying to make comments as I've read through sections of it, but I don't know if anybody else can see those comments or if they'll even be saved to, you know, be recorded in some way. So, and then the maps are not visible.
Well, how about we can come back to that under item 7. Is there any other questions for Cole? I guess one, and my hope is, later on we're going to talk about the approval of the site plan review informational packet. I know I had talked to Tracy a week or so ago, and we were going to make sure Aaron saw that material so he's not working on the site plan review process, and then he's not getting the rest of the stuff that we're working on. So if he says, I don't know what you're talking about, have him contact Tracy or I.
Okay, sounds good.
Anything else for Cole?
Well, just census data, updated census data. Can we incorporate that into the plan without going through a public process?
I think that I would, and again, I thought that had already been done. In fact, I think Tracy might have worked with Dan Teeters in our office to do that.
I think was done.
Right.
I think that was just a little, I guess, to me, something like that would be more of an amendment process than a full update. But again, if you're at a point now where you don't have an adopted update, it kind of sounds like that's where you are.
Correct.
As you go through this process, and obviously I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but you have this opportunity now, I think, to really, with this new group, take a close look at what you do have that hasn't been adopted, figure out if this is what you want. Again, maybe tweak it a bit, and then I think adopt it, and then move on to the implementation tools. So it sounds like it's an opportunity for you.
I do have one other question for you, Cole. How detailed does our public involvement, I mean, should we lay out like, we're going to do a 5-month process, or how detailed do you get into that for an update?
We didn't get that detailed because, quite frankly, what happens is you really can't predict how long your process will take.
Okay.
But what we do at the beginning is we do identify things that we will do for sure during the process at appropriate times. So with our full process, we let people know that we're going to create that advisory committee. We let people know that advisory committee typically was going to meet monthly on a certain day at a certain time. If that committee, for whatever reason, didn't meet, we posted that and let people know that meeting wasn't going to occur or it's postponed to a different date. We told people that we were going to have an open house, at least one open house. I think we had two. And at what point during the process we'll likely have that open house. But we didn't set a date right away because, again, we don't know if we're going to reach that point in 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, or 12 months. This process wound up taking, I believe, about 17 months. And that's not terrible. I mean, there's a reason for that. And again, I think the committee met 12 times, but there are some specific issues I think we had to iron out during that process, and we talked them through and worked them out. So it's hard to predict how long your process will take. You may shoot for 12 months, and you may try to hit target dates for different meetings at different times, but it's difficult to identify specific times throughout the process.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we were thinking that long out, 12 months, if we were going
to
go quicker than that, like
six
months.
I think we were hoping to have it done this calendar year.
Sure.
Correct.
And again, it all depends on the extent to which you want to update your plan.
Well, maybe under agenda topic 7, we can talk about what's reasonable for an update in public participation and how do we want to handle this as far as do we want to have special meetings next door and go through chapter by chapter, or should we just hit all the goals and objectives and kind of see is this where we want to be? Talk about having some additional performance measures that might be helpful for the board and in other areas. In the public involvement, we could go to like the Alloy Business Group. We could have one or two meetings here. We do have a website. We could put it on the website that we're having meetings.
You could hold focus group sessions, and you can do a variety of different things.
We could hijack the TIF district kickoff meeting and really take over and talk about the conference of plan. That probably had to be my last day as the chair, but we could.
But again, I guess one more time, it seems to me that you have a very solid foundation. Mm-hmm. And you may have to modify it slightly, but I think your foundation appears to be pretty much set. So again, I would encourage you then to kind of look beyond the plan fairly soon and focus on the implementation goals.
Excellent. Any other closing comments for Cole? Otherwise, thank you for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
And we will move on to agenda topic 7, Plan Commission Next Steps for Comprehensive Plan. Now, I committed to Tracy we wouldn't make any harsh decisions. We would talk this over with her. Yeah, go ahead.
Before we leave this plan, the Plan Commission is asked to make a recommendation on the process to be taken for the update of the comprehensive plan. Do we want to specify something or just let the notes be a summary of?
Well, I was hoping we'd get into that under item number 7.
Okay. That's fine.
So, discussion? Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the public participation? Do we want to talk about how do we as a plan commission want to... And we do need to talk to Tracy. We've heard the concern. We might need paper copies for everybody of what we have and the maps. Anybody disagree with that?
I just had one comment.
Sure.
Trevor sent us two versions of this, one earlier and then one that required us, at least me anyway, to download some kind of software or something and change my spam filtering criteria. And I didn't do that. My wife and I, we have a home office and she's the IT person, so I don't fiddle with those things. So I just used the one that he sent out earlier. And I discovered accidentally that you can make that full screen readable rather than, you know, everybody knows that, but me, I'm probably the last one to figure that out, right? You can click on the little icon in the lower right-hand side, and it'll give you a full screen that's very, very readable. Or is that?
I didn't go through it because I still have a lot of my notes. I went through it last time.
You don't have to go through it.
But for everybody else, now could you get to all the maps?
I saw some. I didn't look at all of them. Maybe there's still a problem. I mean, if the maps aren't there, then it doesn't do any good. The first time I looked at it, the print was small. That was it. And then the next time I looked at it, I realized you could make the print large, fill the whole thing.
When I checked the village's website, I think it was last week, it looks like the version of the plan that's posted on the website was the original plan, but it's the PDF without the maps. Is that correct?
I don't know what's on the website.
Okay, and I wouldn't be surprised if when I pulled it up, that was the one that came out. And that's typical because if you throw all the maps in, it takes a day and a half to open it up. So that could be what you have. But if you're looking for the original file, I know that when we did the plan 10 years ago, I know it's tough to keep track of the stuff, especially when you move from the old village hall to the new one. We did also submit a couple CDs, at least with the old plan on those CDs. So if those can be tracked down, perhaps that would be helpful.
But the big thing is getting the changes out to everybody. Because like Craig said, it was It was a lot of changes. I mean, we went through that document, and a lot of people, the board, there's a lot of changes. So I'd like to not go back to what we started with, but I don't know if we have that electronic. Like, I know I have a paper copy.
I'm sure we do.
We have the updated one on discs.
Yeah. Is there a way, could we either give discs to each member versus killing every tree, and then at least people can go through and write? Or
that's not that big a document.
I mean, it would be nice just to have a, you know, something to
a
hang
hard
on
copy.
To. Hard copy, yeah.
And that's what we did through the update. Everybody had their own hard copy. And we paged through every page of it. So
we can get you that.
Okay. Okay.
Might be valuable for a public hearing situation to have something printed that we can.
Yeah, if nothing else.
To make reference to, as well as for ourselves. I don't mind printing off 167 pages or whatever it was, but I wouldn't have all the, maybe not all the maps anyway.
Okay, so there's topic one. So, all right, maps for or a copy for everybody, a paper copy. Any thoughts on the process? How would we like to meet? Do we want to go through, have a separate meeting? So add meetings to the schedule where we go in the back room, or we could meet here, it doesn't really matter, and page through a couple chapters at a time?
Seems to make sense to me. So. These meetings are generally full enough.
They are, and that's why through the years, when we have large documents, we have had separate meetings to go through the larger discussions. Well, let's see. How many chapters are there? There's potentially, I mean, I don't know if it's feasible to say we try and go through 2 to 3 chapters at a time, or should we just try and go through one chapter, but that extends the time. I guess my thought process, I'm trying to cut it down. I don't want to make this a year process. I was hoping we could do this in 6 to 7 months.
Well, perhaps we should all get our hands on a plan, you know, a document that we can look at, whether it be on disk or online or a hard copy. We all need to look at it, and then we can come to the extent that we can come together and decide how we want to approach it. We could divide ourselves up into committees, subcommittees, and each subcommittee take a few chapters.
We could, but then we're not getting the consistency or the holistic seeing the whole plan. So it's one of those, because we have so many
members.
Everybody's
still responsible to look at the whole plan, but as far as developing changes, they would, you know, each subcommittee would receive the comments and review those in that subcommittee and then come with a recommendation for those chapters that everyone would listen to and discuss and comment on. I mean, that's just one approach. I'm not saying that's the approach. I'm just saying it's one way we could go about it. Or we could all meet together, as you've been saying, in separate meetings. So.
Maybe I'm an optimist, but it seems to me like we might really be able to get through quite a few chapters in an evening. I don't know.
If they've already been reviewed, yeah, to the extent that it's not going to be a giant overhaul.
Sure, go ahead.
And really, our goal is to get the commission familiar with the comprehensive plan. It's not to rewrite it.
Yeah, for most of us, it's just to.
It's just so everyone's comfortable.
So that we know what's there and can ask a question if we're not sure why something showed up there, not try to change it. That, again, maybe I'm an optimist, but having gone through some of these kind of things in a past life, we might be surprised at how many chapters we could get down.
Well, why don't we see if we can get a paper copy for everybody first, or a disc, or however we do it. And then at the next meeting, and I know we got to talk about scheduling dates for the next meetings, we'll talk then. How do we want to deal with it? Do we want to set up a separate meeting right away? How many meetings do we think we'll have? I guess along with this ties right back to the public participation plan. That's one of the big things we're going to have to do, because it sounds like we're going to have to come up with a resolution as a plan commission saying we want to do this. And the board's got to agree to it also before we start.
Correct, yes. A resolution recommending approval of the public participation process.
Correct. And I'm not sure if we've done that, so we need to check and see. I'm assuming we haven't done it, because otherwise we're definitely not following it if we did.
Yeah. But again, I think that depends on if you want to do an update or if you just want to take a look at the plan first and be comfortable with it, maybe just do the term amendment process. You could do that too.
And I'm open to, I guess I don't want to lead, let's see what the Plan Commission says. And
seems like if you made a lot of changes, like a lot of changes, which it sounds like happened, and that was never adopted as an update, that an update needs to be adopted, I would think, rather than just calling it an amendment. If things have been changed that aren't adopted, I would imagine we should do it. The public information, do the whole process and adopt it. Even if we're, this group of people here, isn't making significant changes going forward, I think what has already been changed probably should be adopted.
That's a good point.
Were there a lot of changes, or was it just tweaked?
Oh, there was changes. There was a lot of changes.
It was a pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
If you look at the plan, the current plan, and then at your April meeting, set up your roadmap for what you think you want to do, you won't be able to get a resolution in front of the board until sometime in May, no matter what, because there's a limited number of board meetings between now and May. So you're really looking at in May, if you want to open up the door and have some public input, it can be put on an agenda for one of the meetings in May. You wouldn't have time to get it into this one in April, and there is only one meeting until well into May, so.
And we're not ready yet. I mean, we don't have copies of
it. So your best bet is to review it, and then at your next meeting decide your path forward. Personally, I think what you'll find when you read the comprehensive plan, the update, you'll readily pick out a few things that you would like to add, and that will give you your path forward.
So anything else on the comprehensive plan update? Or now we can talk about a recommendation. I think what Craig just said makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. We might not be ready tonight. But we are going to need the public involvement plan update. I mean, that's going to be critical. But it's also critical to make sure the members have a copy of the plan and can review it. So with that, is there any other discussion? Or I'd be open to a recommendation on how to move forward.
We have 3 points, right? That we get, at least I've recorded 3 points, that each commission member be provided with a paper copy of the plan.
And we should make sure Judy gets one or alternate also.
Right.
Please.
We need to determine a process for review at the April meeting. And we need to confirm the status of the public participation in the process.
Is that a motion, Roger?
A motion.
Wow, thank you. Is there a second?
A second.
Adam raises his hand first, so I'll give it to Adam. Any discussion? There's a motion on the 3 points that Roger had said, that each plan commissioner get a paper copy of the draft, that we discuss in April what is the process to move forward with the update, and then discussion on the public involvement plan as we move forward. Yes?
Did he say confirm the public process or to redo the public process? Do we really do we need to go back and see exactly how it was stated when we did the public process and continue from there?
We don't know what's out there. So I'd like to, rather than assume, let's see what was done. And if it wasn't done, we might have to do all of it, redo it or re-announce it.
Yeah.
Or if it's been done already, where did we fall astray?
According to the motion on the table, how how was it stated? Was it?
To confirm the status of the public participation process.
Okay.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay? The motion carries. Moving on to agenda topic 8, approval of the plan commission position description. Now, Trevor gave a position description, and this goes back to our village president, back when the Economic Development Committee came into existence. We were unclear what was the role of the Planning and Zoning Committee / Plan Commission and the Economic Development Committee. So we had kicked around a position description back then, but Roger and I had went through the Land Information Service workshop materials from UW-Stevens Point, and they had a better position description than what we had. So we had talked about this, I believe, last month. Is there any comments that anyone has? We are going to be asked to make a recommendation on it. I have some comments, but I was wondering if anyone else did first.
I think the format and organization is fine, and the only thing that we might need to do, really, from my perspective, is to edit the text and make it a little more readable and consistent in some cases.
Do you have examples of that, Roger?
Well, under the first line, the second page of the description, under referrals and advisory recommendations, before any action may be taken, maybe as one word, it should be two words. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things. Then I've got some other either strikeouts of unneeded words or a few additions or just different words. But
do you want to either...
It doesn't change the sense of any of the...
Sherry, can you make copies of that, and then you can pass that on to Trevor, and then he could update those? And I have some also, too. Does anyone else have... I guess one word I struggled with is co-chair. We've always used vice chair, and, we really didn't need, when Jim Genrich was the chair, we didn't need a vice chair. But previously to that, we needed a vice chair because the chair rarely showed up. So we pushed for that back then. I'm not going to say names. It's probably somebody people may know here. So the vice chair, I think, is important if the chair can't be here to run the business, or if there was something that if a chair ever did have to step down for a conflict of interest or something else, we have a second person that can run the meeting. I'm not sure if co-chair is the appropriate word or vice chair. Co-chair sounds weird. It's like you're both together and you're both running it, and that's not the intent. I guess the other comment I have, and we struggled with this, I believe, last month also, under the referrals and advisory recommendations that Roger was talking about, I'm not sure, like, general fire limits, if that's something that's really a plan commission duty. I'm sure it is in some plan commissions. Is that something we should be doing specifically? And if it is, I want us to be doing it.
Well, we're now part of metropolitan fire commission, so, you know, maybe that might get deferred.
I mean, some of these things are totally appropriate if, let's say, for the TIP district, there's a pedestrian mall. That should come through. This group should be involved, at least, to make recommendations to the board. So many of these, I totally agree, and I think in the past, because we haven't been as involved, I think we should be involved. I just want to make sure we're appropriate, and I'm not sure general fire limits. If there's a duty we should have, maybe some of these need to be spelled out somewhere if they aren't.
I wouldn't think that really applies to this planning commission. Mm-hmm. So the situation that we have in Alloway, especially now that we're part of the Metro.
I guess for that reason, I would like Tracy or the staff to look at that. Maybe we should strike a couple of these out. And no offense to Trevor, but I think the staff should take a review of that and say what's appropriate or not appropriate.
The question is, did this list come out of 62, 23, 5?
I don't know that.
So that's...
A similar item is the public utilities. And I'm not sure what he means by public utilities, but if it's basic utilities, there's really not much here in the way of changes to those utilities that have come into play. Generally, that's planning for utility expansion. And you really don't, you know, growth areas, you really don't have that.
And I guess in reviewing, like, the example in the... I didn't bring the chapter from the Land Information Center. They gave an example from the Village of Weston's Plan Commission. And they have all different things. Like, they pay their members and they do all different things. So I think some of these things, yes, there's certain responsibilities under State Statute Chapter 62, but there's other parts that doesn't apply to every plan commission. So I kind of want to make sure what is our responsibility and what isn't our responsibility. Otherwise, I think this is a fantastic version over what we had previously. I mean, before it was very vague. I like that the vice chair is spelled out in here. I thought it'd be two separate documents, but it's fine just to spell it out in one. Is there any other discussion, comments, changes?
Just a comment on your preference for vice chair over co-chair. Is that, I agree that I think vice chair... more descriptive.
Well, and it's not really spelled out like the board. Let's say the village president is sick or can't attend. There
we
isn't.
We assign one that night.
So I guess, is vice chair an official position? I mean, we've done it because we've needed it, but I don't know if the board has ever said.
That would have to go back to how the plan commission is established or not.
I think it might be more a matter of the village charter.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what's in the village charter for that. So maybe we have to look at it, but it does make sense to have somebody else to run the meeting if somebody steps down or whatever happens.
Mm. Either that or some way to elect someone for the evening. You know, one way we can't just say, well, he's not here, so what do we do?
And back when our chair didn't show up, we used to say whoever came last got the job, but that's just how we did it. I'm not saying that's the best way.
At the board, we nominate someone. Someone will say, this is how it usually is. And we will say, I nominate Randy Gass to be chair tonight. We all vote yes. We're done.
So that's something else that should be checked on, the legality of the vice chair and where does that come from. Any other comments? Hearing none, I would accept a motion. Boy, this side of the room has been very quiet tonight. Come on, can I get somebody down here?
I will make a motion. Make a motion to... Well, are we accepting this or are we sending it back for revisions?
Accepting
it with revisions that were mentioned.
Yeah.
So we need to have, we had the vice chair, of course, we need that checked on, verified, we need to do that for sure. We had staff need to check on the public utilities, general bylaws, make sure these things conform to what we're tasked to do, and some edits from Roger, if I'm hearing that correctly, send along
right. And
see. And I think that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that concise enough for a motion?
Is that concise enough for you, Sherry? There you go.
There's some moves.
Wow, beautiful. Is there a second? Trustee Dart? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. I think with a lot of these documents that we're going to be going through, it's better than what we have. And if there's things that are terrible in the future, Tracy will come back and say, we're hearing this complaint, bring it back, and then we can amend it. Or if we're missing duties or add duties. But it's a great starting point. So thank you for the discussion on that topic. And we'll move on to agenda topic 10, approval of plan development district informational packet. Actually,
nine.
Nine. Yeah. Instead of ten, I mean nine. Strike that. Thank you. I'm checking off too fast. Craig, did you have anything on this? Or it?
I do, and it applies to both 9 and 10. It's a small item, but it is one that we should include, and that is on your checklist, item 12, where it says erosion control plans. You should have stormwater management and erosion control plans. The stormwater management planning requirement for a project is really a fairly significant item. And if we don't list it here and it becomes in its omission and they have to do it later, it's going to delay projects. So we might as well have that ready to time. So that would be stormwater management and erosion control plans. That was the only item that I saw and listed.
I think we should specify that a certified survey is required. We don't have that anywhere in here.
For both or for?
Well. The site plan has to be developed from something, so I would think they need to do a survey. It's part of that. And nowhere in here do we indicate that, and this has been a complaint in past reviews, that they should be required to identify adjacent properties and provide depiction of structures on those properties that are within, and I'm going to just take an arbitrary 200 feet of the property boundary.
We have had challenges with that before. But that's one area where we talked about having the using the projector and putting it up on the screen and looking like Brown County. I mean, we could put the work on the developer or keep us doing the work. And we haven't really done the work where we bring it up on the screen and look at that.
You know, we don't have staff to do that work. I mean, you know, if we had a planning staff some sort, they would. And honestly, I've had to do these documents for other municipalities, and these are standard requirements.
So where do you propose we add that, Roger?
Just somewhere in the checklist, certified survey.
And any number preference for you?
Well,
number 6.
Scale.
Yeah,
boundary line yeah. Property. I'd put, certified survey, we'd come between 5 and 6.
How does the survey, I'm not sure what a certified survey is, what it entails. Does it overlap with number 14 at all?
No.
It could be a topographic survey of the site done by a registered
right.
Land surveyor.
Registered survey to confirm the boundary lines are correct.
Okay.
So legal description, all that other stuff. So.
Does the village require that now?
Yes.
So we should just put it in our process then?
It's already required. Craig's going to call him and say, where's your survey if it's not there?
Right, okay. Then we should just put it. Okay.
So.
I'm not sure if Trevor got this from looking at our ordinance or from some other source. If you look at our PDD requirements, we're pretty comprehensive.
Okay. Okay, so CSM, and then you also said we should add the... is there any discussion? How far out do we need to go to look at neighboring buildings and property owners?
Well, the reason I chose 200 feet is because whenever a property is coming before us, all of the owners of property within 200 feet of the subject property are to be notified of the hearing. So
that sounds reasonable.
All of those should be.
200 feet, though, is a lot to show on a site plan, and you have to be on a location map then.
But they could do a separate location map.
Yeah, it's really identifying that there are buildings there and who, what those buildings are, what is the function. Sometimes we don't know if it's a residence or a gas station or...
Well, and then the other thing, if we use the comprehensive plan and look at the zoning map, we can see, does it fit into that neighborhood or not? And right now,
yeah,
we're guessing...
we don't have the zoning map to look at that time. So, you know, if we... When we're in the meeting...
Correct.
We're in the meeting.
Correct.
As long as, you know, if it's part of our procedure, that's available to look at.
Oh, Tracy's been bringing it. That hasn't been the issue. Normally, if we have something that's got a zoning type, I've been emailing you and say, hey, please have the zoning map available for us.
But
that's recent.
Just, you know, it's got a colored rendition of the district, okay? But it doesn't really tell us what the context. We're supposed to assess the quality of the development with respect to the context it's going into.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just a matter of zoning district.
No, but that's also looking at the Brown County site and looking at what do the buildings look like, or going out and doing a field review prior to the meeting.
Yeah, well, however we do that
Correct.
Process.
But just
somehow.
Go online and scan in and look at it.
Right. But I do agree we should add. Now, where do we want to add a locational map, 200 feet showing building structures? Do we want to do that under number 7? Or a part of that?
Between 6 and 7.
Yeah, because it's not something that they would include on their plan set. They can include it separately as in, like an aerial image or something.
Right.
And Bellevue staff puts that together and includes that with agenda packets that we identify that.
But they have a community development director, correct?
Yeah.
See, and that's Alloway doesn't have that staff. So I think if Alloway had that staff, I'd agree we'd put a lot more things on the staff. Because we don't, I think we should put that requirement on the developer. I'd like to not do that, but I think that's the only fair way than burden staff.
Should we make sure that this came out of our process to make sure? You just raised before, but we weren't sure exactly what Trevor might have thought, just to make sure it conforms.
Well,
it seems like it would make sense to me.
Originally, the last time we reviewed this, many of these things were enumerated as bullet points in the text. And we talked about taking those out and just making that a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I have a couple suggestions on that. In addition to asking for a location identification of exterior lighting, to ask for a photometric lighting plan of the site and to take a look at the spillover lighting. And then also I didn't see anything for landscaping. Don't we look at landscaping for screening or for screening of headlights?
So wait, slow down, Barbara. Okay. Photometric, where are we going to put...
Under exterior lighting, under 7, it's in the second column.
Okay.
We ask for exterior lighting, but in addition to just the... I would think we must ask for, like, manufacturer cut sheets, pole height information, but also a photometric lighting plan, so we can check how much spillover, or if it's spilling over into residential areas. I assume if it spills over into the street, Craig, you're okay with that, for free street lighting?
Now, how would most developers understand if we set a photometric lighting plan? They should get that? Because I wouldn't get that. Okay.
That's understandable.
Okay.
We've had this before.
Photometric. we have had spillover. We have had that discussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know they've included it, so there must be some way that they're necessary. Just didn't make the checklist.
Yeah, that could be.
I had a question about the photometric. Does that just mean, well, the first question is, do we have any ordinance that says what it should be, like how many, however it's measured, lumens or something at the order? You know, is there a way to make a judgment about the data that you see when you see a photometric that says, here's how much spillover there is. Is that okay or not okay? And what if a resident comes to the public hearing and raises an issue, can we say we're sorry, but the ordinance as written says that that's legally correct, or, you know, can we enforce anything, I guess, is question.
I'm not sure what you have in your ordinance.
I don't know.
We always deferred to staff when there was just a couple of plans that came up. And we just, Tracy, is staff okay with this? And I guess.
Okay. I think there was that discussion for like Ascension, the church, yeah, in the parking lot, and how did that impact some of the neighbors. So I know it's been talked about, but I don't know the detail.
Yeah, I believe that there, as far as the lighting plan, I believe that there is criteria for that. And generally, that's something that the building inspector looks at and checks those calculations. And I think that's pretty well established. So I think you are on solid ground in that regard.
Okay. Barb, please continue. No.
And then my other addition would be the landscape plan. I didn't see that listed.
Now, we've talked about landscaping a lot for a lot of development. So, yeah, that should be... And I know landscaping is in the site plan review. I know it is because I was involved with that process.
Yeah, it is. And it is a hot topic.
Yes. And we typically ask that the village forester, that Brad, review the tree plans or what type of barriers or what type of trees and those kind of things. Well, gang, where should landscaping go? Do we want to put it under?
I just put it in the item 7 list.
Okay.
And are these edits being put into 10 too? Is that what we're doing?
Look, the
9 and 10. No, we started out with the stormwater management at 12, going into 12.
Right.
All these are, mm-hmm, that's a part of the PGD.
I think they'd be, right, no, that's fine. I think that's appropriate unless, does somebody see a reason?
Well, PDD is a little different. This is site plan review.
I'm not sure of your process. If something comes in for a PDD, does it also then go in for a site plan review, or does the PDD do just one review of everything?
I think PDD is one review, I believe.
We do have a PDD checklist that we can discuss.
Yeah.
We generally go to the PDD. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We only do the site plan when it's a relatively small project and it doesn't appear that there's significant items, we go to the site plan. But 3 out of 4 go to PDDs.
Even if it's not in the
board preference.
Even if it's not in the plan development district as identified on the zoning map, because that's a little confusing. I think there's relatively few actual plan development districts identified on the zoning map when I took a look at it. Maybe was misinterpreting. But that seems almost to make something go through a PDD process that's not located in the PDD, you know, district.
Right. Well, the site plan review applies to anything
that
is compliant with the zoning district,
mm-hmm,
or it is a conditional use permitted in the zoning district. Then they'd use site plan review. But if they want to do something different on a parcel than the zoning allows for, that's would be the PDD process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the old Village Hall site. That was always assumed. I know when I went to board meetings, they said that it would be a PDD, and that was just the process that was going to be followed. But I guess that also depends what would be put on there. I think it's institutional right now, zoning, though. So,
it wouldn't, so because it's not meeting the zoning.
Correct. It would go the PDD process.
So is that basically what the PDD is used for? Is if it's outside of the regular zoning?
Yes, that's what you could use. And, well, also the PDD was really developed for mixed-use type of properties where you would have residential, commercial, usually things that are required to be in separate districts, all combined in one district.
Because across the street, that was a PDD. Now, why did we have to do a PDD there?
You didn't. Well, it depends on how you had that land zoned. You could have been.
Can you answer that question?
Well, it was used here because of the size of the project. That was the main goal. It's also being used over here for the development on the other side. The Marco property.
On St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So is there other criteria other than the zoning issue that we would use the PDD for?
Sometimes developers want a PDD when they aren't going to be able to meet all aspects of the code, so there's a little give and take. So maybe they'll have a little more green space, but their parking lot is different, or they'll have islands in the parking lot and they won't have as much green space, or there's a little give and take that it's a PDD ordinance, so it's specific to that property. Like when OSCO came in, when I was here, I don't know, 16 years ago, that was a PDD, that was the school property, but they didn't meet all of the requirements, and the village wanted a little more control on what that building looked like. That was sent back several times to get the building look that the village thought would be a better fit. So rather than doing a straight rezoning, there was a little more give and take. Or, like Craig said, sometimes if you exceed a certain size, like in Bellevue, if you exceed 40,000 square foot on a building, it's a conditional use. If you exceed 80,000 square foot on a building, it's a PDD. I don't know if you have that in your ordinance for size limitations.
I mean, I don't understand, like, at what point it's decided what it is.
It's the developer's option, mainly.
When I was here, I was told that the village would not be doing straight rezonings. Everything was coming in as a PDD, so the village had a little more control.
Got it. No, I understand.
Yeah. And the incentive for the developer is that it can be more like a negotiation, kind of.
Got it.
A little give and take, and we can have some amenities or whatever that may be more required.
But that's part of the reason why we talked about beefing up our site plan review process, because if we remember across the street, the give and take was, we thought there should be sidewalk because it's in our TIF district, and the developer didn't want sidewalk. So, yeah, give and take on all the values that were in our comprehensive plan.
That's a challenge, to make it fair.
Correct.
So that we have an impact.
So lots of changes. Any more additions to make?
Are we just talking on the checklist right now?
You know, let's stick to topic 9, and anything's fair game on 9.
Okay, well, if we go back to the first page, at the bottom of the second paragraph, the line reads, "The village also wishes to assist the owner or developer in best utilizing the site's potential, reducing costs, keeping future development options open, and enhancing the resale value of properties." I think that I don't know. I would kind of like to see a couple things change there. I would prefer that we say the village engages such review to assist the owner or developer in best utilizing the site's potential, rather than giving them a more substantive reason why this process exists. And then reducing costs, I don't know that that's necessarily our goal, unless I could see that line change to promoting economy of village services might be more appropriate in stating our position in the site plan review process.
I guess my question, it's got village ordinance and then the parent. Is that what village ordinance says now, or is this stuff fair game to change? I don't know.
Well, there is an ordinance that they have to follow. This is an information sheet.
Okay, so we can tweak
it. So this has to be consistent with it. I didn't go back to the ordinance to see how well this compares, but it sounds like I don't think our ordinance will be quite as wishy-washy on some of these items. So,
yeah, it might be helpful to know. I mean, it's nice that Trevor is putting this together, but I don't know what's he changing and not changing, and that might be helpful for the Planning Commission to know that. What's ordinance, what's not ordinance, what's...
Well, I think this is something that Tracy has asked for, really, just to make discussion go easier with potential developers. So,
so that.
I think the part Roger's referring to right there isn't part of the ordinance, and I think if those two changes are invalid, I think that makes it mean a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. who's going to care what we wish?
mm-hmm.
I think it's more firm. Can you repeat that, Rob?
The village engages such review to assist the owner or developer in best utilizing the site's potential, promoting economy of village services, keeping future development options open, and enhancing the resale value of properties.
Anything else on that page? Yes.
Existing and proposed site grading plan. We don't really call that out on here that the grading plan is required, but we do require that in every submission.
And Craig, where do you propose that one go? Let's see.
Well, that could go under number 7. Yeah. It could be one of the check lines under 7, existing and proposed site grading plans.
And in the second column on the 1-3-4th one down, it does talk about drainage patterns, so maybe that check part just needs to be reworded. Surface water holding ponds, drainage ditches, and drainage patterns. Existing and proposed grading plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, you won't have any drainage ditches or any holding ponds and alleys, so. You know, that's kind of a generic one from somewhere else, but we really would probably never have that in the area. But if this, that would fall under the stormwater management plan if we did have one. But yeah, it can go anywhere in there.
So are you thinking we should take that one out? The way it states and state what, like, well, substitute what you're saying?
That's what the grading plan gives you, is the drainage patterns.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think all of these items come straight out of our ordinance. So.
Roger, you even think the drainage ditches and all that?
Yeah, it's probably there. I'm not certain, but I agree that we, you know, if it's not valid, it probably doesn't need to be in our checklist. This is a communication tool with the developer. So,
well, if it's a communication tool, and if we don't have it, it's not a good item to have in there. Then
the thing is that the surface water, what we were just talking about, that's covered by. The grading plans and the stormwater management plan.
Right.
That have already been taken care of. So.
So we can take that out.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Anything else? I think there's enough changes and comments. I'm not sure we need, I'm not aware of a time deadline that says this has to be recommended tonight. So whoever does make a motion, if they would feel that we should defer it, that's another option that's out there. Is there any other discussion on agenda topic 9? We do need some sort of a recommendation, so I would entertain a motion. So
I'll move that we return the document for additional editing based on our discussion this evening.
Okay. Is there a second? Second by Barb. You got motion by Roger, second by Barb. Any discussion? Yes, Howard.
We talked about whether the what's written here is how that compares to the actual ordinance. And was that in the note, that was in the notes to be done based on our recommendation?
I would say that that's an appropriate amendment to this. That it should be justified with the ordinance.
You have that, Sherry? Okay, excellent. Any further discussion? Hearing none. There's a motion with the different points that I'm starting to lose it because it's getting later in the evening. I think everybody, do you need me to repeat it or do you, okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Now agenda topic 10. And we may have a lot of the similar points, but as Roger pointed out, the PDD is different. And I guess I just had a question. Craig, you had made the comment on the checklist about the stormwater management plan being required. How does that work for a PDD, like across the street, across Libel?
Same way.
When we saw it, we were told we only needed to worry about the first part of the property, and we'd see a second phase later on if they decided to do that. As part of our PDD, is there a way we can say we want to see the whole parcel that you own and what's the drainage?
That's what we do.
Okay, that's what we do.
And the PDD that was approved includes the full stormwater management plan for the whole site.
Okay, it did.
Yeah.
See, like the sidewalk, we got hit with, well, we'll do this part now, and maybe if we move forward, maybe we'll do the sidewalk and the rest of it. It just seems piecemeal when it's one developer and you know they're going to develop all of it, that we look at the whole parcel instead of just parts of it.
I would put that more in the category of how that was negotiated with the developer.
So we shouldn't start there. We should push.
It just wasn't required.
Okay.
You
know. So maybe we'll do better. That was a previous chairman.
Yeah. So the point being, if you set a firm date by which it has to be done, period, that's what you do.
Okay.
Not 2 years, a firm date, and make it a requirement of the original approval. Then you don't have that question.
Okay.
That's something we can do.
Thank you. Well, that's the whole thing. You learn as you move forward. And is there any questions? We can go through, hopefully, somewhat quickly, and hopefully we have a lot of the same comments, if appropriate, for number 10. I'm open to any comments on any of the documents.
You know, it looks like the final approval checklist is the same as under item 9. So really, whatever is in 9 applies to 10.
But is there differences in the PDD process and the site review process? Is it the same to say the checklists are both mutually exclusive or not?
Well, as far as the stormwater management, the site grading plan, the landscaping plan, all of those things, the lighting, those are all the same. The PDD gives you more control over architectural. Improvements, how it looks, more control over site landscaping, more control over impact on neighboring properties. And those are three things that I saw here. You have more control over that development and more control. This final approval, both preliminary and final approval, maybe should have a little more in the area of the architectural treatments, site rendering, you know, the site renderings, the more of the planning part of it. Because I know in that PDD, in both of them across the road, they brought in samples of the bricks, the windows, and the roof treatments, and on and on and on, and multiple renderings of the site, and suggested we'd like to see this a little different, we'd like to see that look a little different. And so there were changes made to the development based on the architectural renderings and the samples of the various products to be used. That's one of the things that the PDD allows you to do. You have more control over that part of it. Sort of better fits into the environment.
So are we thinking that needs to be in the checklist, or is that checklist to stay as it is because that's a given because it's a PDD?
That was in reference to, is on this checklist, is there something that should be, something more that should be in
yeah.
here? And I think in the PDD ordinance, some of those things are listed. I don't recall what they all were, but we might want to cross-check that more closely for this because of what's in that other ordinance to make sure that this checklist matches it more closely.
So maybe we need to take this document, change it like we changed the other checklist, but then send it back to match it against
yes.
our PDD ordinance.
Because I know in that other checklist, there's pretty close to 30 items in there that have to be included in that package. And I've seen 3 PDDs go through here now, and they were in very much depth, a lot of detail.
Well, and there is the preliminary approval checklist, which has, but it doesn't necessarily say the control side. It says, like, I'm on the third box on the bottom, architectural drawings and sketches illustrating the design and character of the proposed structure. Mm-hmm. So there's some of that, but is that enough detail? I don't know.
Craig, at the preliminary stage, do you want something on drainage or stormwater management? Just initially to make sure that it'll work?
Yeah, it should be. It could be the preliminary stormwater management plan. You know, as an example, tomorrow we have a developer coming in for a major project. And one of the first items we're going to be talking about is the revisions they need to make for that site to manage stormwater runoff, because there's no management of stormwater runoff on that site, and it's a large site. So it's right up front, right from the get-go, you've got to plan that utility.
And that might be in the developer's best interest, especially if they want to move forward, and getting hit at the end, so.
They prefer to know right away.
Yeah. It seemed to me like the preliminary approval was a lot of overall, general overview, schematic. But then the last checkbox was an accurate drawing showing location, size, height, type, and design of all exterior signs. Seemed very detailed and more of a final design type of item. So maybe move that to the checklist, the final design checklist, and maybe include something more general of more along the architectural sketch, illustrating, you know, character, design, intent more mm-hmm. than needing to know your exact dimensions and locations right off the bat.
I think this, we might be stuck with this only because it's in the ordinance.
That could be.
But it's worth checking on.
But we could have the ordinance come for editing in a future meeting.
Well, if we get to it, that's an agenda topic. So.
Well, I mean, this discussion is good in reviewing how that part of it. So.
Well, along those lines, you know, under the checkbox, box 3, the general development plan, and it goes down and it says the size and location of lots. Well, actually, there should be a preliminary site plan in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you'll see much in any development that has lots in it, but there should be preliminary site plan because you can't really review the PDD without having a layout of the site. Looking at this preliminary approval checklist, I'm not sure how complete this is. I think this almost has to go back and look at the ordinance in detail and take the preliminary and the final and look at the ordinance and decide, and do a little bit of tuning on this preliminary because I don't know that the preliminary is getting us quite enough information to get a preliminary approval. Thinking of the multi-step meetings that you go through, I think it really has to be looked at very closely with regard to the ordinance. That's just my gut feel looking at it. It needs a little more detail.
So before we think and evaluate it, seems like we need to go back to verify that.
So that's what I'm thinking.
but it's much more usable. It's just not a question of about the detail.
I think your item 9 is good for the site plan review package. I think that's pretty complete. This one, I think, just needs a little bit more work before you can really look at it and say you're comfortable with it.
Any other? Oh, go ahead.
Can you specify exactly what we think needs to be done? I mean, who's going to do it, Craig? If you say, can you send it back and does Trevor look at it? But he's an intern. Do we need someone else to look at it?
No, they're going to have to be Trevor and Tracy and myself. Probably going to have to look at it. And where I'm coming from is I'm thinking of a couple of things that we've looked at, and when we've had this initial meeting to start working on the preliminary plan, we are already laying out stormwater management requirements, fire protection requirements, road requirements, and things of that sort. So we're providing some guidance to that developer to help him get closer to the target right away and save us all time.
Correct.
And we're requiring them to give us some early information so we can review it before we even sit down at that first meeting, so we understand the concept and we find that it saves time. And that's where this can be real valuable. Yeah. If this targets those items, it's going to save everybody time.
Correct.
The only problem I have with that is that at that preliminary meeting for the Plan Commission, we seem to get a project that's so highly developed, we're not able to make changes.
Yeah.
I mean, on both of these things, these elder care facilities that have been done, I made comments that the roof lines look way too high for the size of the building, and those were ignored. So,
you're right, so. And that's what's happened. And I think, but if you have a functioning commission now. So I think if we can move the project to the review step here early on, that'll help. I mean, we pay more attention to that and move it to this point a little bit sooner. Because what happened before, at least on the initial project over there, is it was well down the line before it went to anybody.
Yeah, it would be better to have, you know, renderings rather than working drawings.
Right.
At our preliminary review. So.
There's one thing that I guess was, I felt like it was left out a little bit of this preliminary approval process. It talks about completing the forms and submitting them, setting up a preliminary discussion, and then it jumps right to the Plan Commission, sends a recommendation to the Village Board, but it doesn't talk about, I guess, maybe when in that process, or how early, or does the developer have that initial coordination? Oh, I guess it is between the developer and the Plan Commission. Do they have a sit-down with you first and then right away come to the Plan Commission, or is it they have a sit-down meeting, they make some revisions based on the discussion you've had, and then it comes to the Plan Commission, or what's the...
I think that's really the question, is how do you define that?
Yeah.
When does that step take place? What I was referring to on that initial meeting is, oh, for example, tomorrow, we have a developer coming in to talk about developing a site, and he's really not going to have much of any drawings or anything, but he's got a concept for what he wants to do, and he wants to know, what do I really have to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a checklist, or you've got an ordinance. What do you think I really have to do on this site? Well, you know, you're going to have to provide stormwater runoff control, and you're going to have to do some landscaping, and there's a lot of basic things you're going to have to do on that site to make it usable. Then that's where this preliminary approval checklist would come into play, present that, and I think the key step here is then plan for the date that it comes for its first review. Then it'll be on the docket, there'll be a target to shoot for.
But rather than have it come to Plan Commission and there be a lot of issues that would possibly table it, and usually everybody wants to fast-track every project that comes in, wouldn't it be beneficial for staff to sit down and review to kind of let the developer know, oh, that's going to be an issue, that's not, you know, we don't want to have to table something to delay it. Does the staff usually
I think that's what we want to be able to do. I would prefer to see a process where staff just makes sure that the documentation that is being submitted well describes the intent and the scope of the project. And they don't apply any judgment to the project. They simply make sure that it's accurately described so that when it comes before us, we're able to get a good sense of what the project is so that we can develop our own opinions. We're not sitting here assessing whether the staff's opinions are correct or incorrect. So we can look at it from a neutral and objective standpoint without being influenced otherwise, except perhaps, you know, for some specific criteria that would be a problem for the village or neighboring properties.
What do you mean specifically? Like, for example, I value when, like, the fire chief or fire department looks at it and says, hey, I can't get my rig in here and you need to know about this. That stuff that... It doesn't sway me. There's the law.
That's all. That you could do that at the preliminary. That's
right,
fine.
Right.
You could have all those people show up and comment on the development plan for the commission, and we could take that information into consideration. What I'm saying is, I don't want a plan brought to us, and the staff having decided, you know, what we should think about it, because we don't get the chance. In the two-step review that we have, we get a preliminary review, and then the next month we get the final review. And we don't have a chance to ask the developer to make changes. The staff does that.
Well, so let's use some real examples here, because I don't think we have a problem in this regard, but I think you need to understand there's two things. One is the developer will say, well, is this going to work? Does this meet the criteria? Take the fire truck. We've got a road that's on the facility. Mm-hmm. And we point out to them that they need to meet these particular code requirements. They'll come back, they look at it and say, well, that's not going to meet them. We don't want to delay giving that feedback on something that clearly needs to meet some criteria. Mm-hmm. That if it comes here and then we make that statement here and then you send it back, now we just lost some time. The developer wants to know, does this meet this? But those are pretty much the hard and fast criteria.
But those are code issues though. We're not here to judge whether he's meeting the building code or the fire code. We're here to establish whether the development fits the character of the community and complies with our comprehensive plan.
And that's where I was headed with this. There's the design requirements, the code requirements that they have to meet, and they want that feedback fairly quickly. I mean, they'll ask some questions, they'll give us a drawing, we'll give them some feedback. The stormwater management part of it, they want to know what is it I have to do. They'll give some preliminary engineering evaluation of it, and we'll look at it and say, well, you know, that's not going to meet the code requirements. So by the time it comes to you here, some of those engineering parts, we know that they're in compliance. We don't look at architectural. We don't look at the landscaping to any great extent. We don't look at all of the other things, the architectural view and so forth. We don't really look at that stuff.
But
to the building inspector and ask those questions, and he just says, you just meet these requirements, and then it goes for review. So he won't give them that feedback on, yeah, this is the right window, and that's the way the roof treatment should be. He won't do that. That all falls into the planning commission.
See, I think your bad taste in your mouth is the dealings like across the street. I mean, that was everything was cut and dried. I mean,
that's the thing. We don't have any chance to object to the way the building is sited, to say, well, we don't think this is, you know, a one-story building with a huge roof is good here. Can't you do this as a two-story building? You know, we should be able to ask for those things.
Well, that has to be in the preliminary review, then. That's what it has to be. If you have a two-step process, that's what it has to be.
And Roger is correct. We've had this whole discussion about, especially our comprehensive plan, we can't build out. So how do we build up? Where do we have this discussion about mixed-use development? And a lot of times, oh, it's already decided. Like, for example, in maybe it's a good fit, maybe it wasn't a good fit, but the orthodontics place they put in right next to CP Center on Webster, right across the street from the prison. Maybe a multi-story building isn't the best idea right across from a prison. Don't know. We didn't ask that question. But we couldn't even have those discussions. That's kind of the gateway into Alloway. Maybe a mixed-use development would have made some sense, especially if they knocked down all the other buildings on that site. Mm-hmm. We never even had that discussion. We started to have that discussion, but we didn't have any opportunity. Well, you're done. This is what you have. So, and I'm not saying we have to go there, but sometimes it is helpful. Like we've had, we mentioned the other Mako property over on St. Joseph. Yeah. Should there be an easement or a trail system and maybe some opportunities right. to do some things? We have had some success, but I think mm-hmm. it's been more luck than through the process sometimes is how it feels from my perspective.
Yeah, we got one little sidewalk in on one development, but the sidewalk we really needed, we didn't get.
Which one was that?
That was the sidewalk on the St. Joseph's property, the one that would have provided access through the site. Instead of having to go all the way around, people could have walked through the site.
There was a daycare.
There was a lot of effort that went into trying to get that sidewalk, and legally it couldn't be done.
But there is an easement, correct, for in the future?
There is an easement if the mm-hmm. if the Compass exercises that easement. They have a 2-year window to exercise that easement. Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to solve it all tonight, mm-hmm. but...
Right. I guess we're just... I'd like to see the commission have more flexibility to make choices with the developer. And maybe not the developer come in with more conceptual ideas rather than hard and fast stuff that we can't step back from.
Well, here's a thought for you, and I don't know how this fits into the whole program, but think about this. Maybe when there is a developmental project, that whatever information is available as you have your meetings, that that be an agenda item and a discussion item, so you can see these things as they start to develop. That's before the preliminary submittal is even made.
That might be helpful. I guess an example, the gas station right off of Dauphin Street. I mean, that came in, I mean, the village board had already decided they were going to vacate the alley and all. I mean, there's a lot of decisions before we actually got it. It was kind of like we wouldn't have had much say on how to lay out the development. It was decided. So maybe, Craig, that's a very good idea. Maybe it doesn't have to be a formal discussion,
right.
but maybe just, hey, heads up, and maybe that's something Tracy can do. Hey, we're talking to developers in these areas. Let's talk about what do we want. How does this match our comprehensive plan?
I mean, that would be a way to begin. Then you'd be involved in the dialogue right from the get-go.
I think that's a good idea. And again, in my past life as a planning commissioner, we had workshops, you know, on alternate weeks, you know, from the official meetings, and that was for that purpose, for developers to come and say, we're thinking about putting a gas station there. You know, what do you think we should bring to you when we have it on your agenda, kind of thing. You know, and so, and again, I'm not trying to talk us into having more meetings, but I'm saying that that's how we were involved in the past, was that informal discussion.
Well, maybe
we just sat around a table. I mean, it wasn't a
formal meeting.
It was just a meeting. We would call them workshops.
Now, would you have staff there also?
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's something we could offer once every couple months. And send it out to developers or put on a website and say, we'll have open whatever, call ahead, and maybe there's a minimal amount of information we want.
Well, remember, though, that when you get a developer that wants to talk about something, he doesn't want to be out in the public.
How did they handle
it? Well, it wasn't public. It wasn't a public meeting. It was it's just like... If they came and met with you and Tracy, then we would just be part of it.
Part of
the discussion.
So you can't have a quorum in that situation. In Wisconsin, you can't have a quorum in that situation.
That's kind of a different approach. What I tossed out was just the idea that you have an agenda item.
Yeah, yours is fine.
You know, and we can fill you in on the two or three potential projects that are out there, and then at least you're in the loop, and then you can kind of go from there. And
yeah. That's really all I was saying was I think it's great to get that information early.
What would be helpful, Craig, with that would be, depending on the site, and we don't need every detail, but hey, looking at the zoning, you would need to do a zoning change, or you need to do a conditional use permit, or here's the processes that we're going to have to follow for this. So then we're aware and we can start thinking about, okay, we have this level of involvement or this level of involvement.
Right.
It's a little bit off topic, but it is part of the greater, bigger picture. So
I do like the idea of being informed that projects are being proposed before they come here. And, you know, being informed where they are, what the character of the project is, so we can be thinking about that. So we have a chance to look at the zoning code, for example, or walk by the property or something. So.
And I guess the other thing, one way to get consistency is maybe the chair or the vice chair, if you do have your meetings. Now, I can't drop every single day, but there's some days I would be able to come away for an hour and just work an hour later and come to a meeting like that. So that's another way that we could get involved earlier in the process. So who wants to put this into a motion? Any further discussion on this?
I had one.
Sure, go ahead, Howard.
Maybe it's just me, but I look at the document and I see under preliminary approval and final approval in the verbiage there, in each case, there's an item that says approval by village board for the preliminary. That's item number 7, and it's mentioned a few times in the final approval verbiage there. When you go to the last page, which is the submittal date, there's preliminary approval and final approval, but there's no... Are we missing something there? Because it talks about preliminary approval for the plan commission and final approval for the village board. But well, there's a preliminary approval for the village board, which isn't in here. So
and then a primary is it confusing? Plan commission.
Yeah.
Is it confusing to... I mean, I don't know that I could trace through here if I just picked a date, let's say April 15th, I'm a developer, and so I know what I have to do, but I'm not so sure I know when I see that. Looks like there should be more. Is it clear to everybody else?
Kendra, you had brought the original example from Oshkosh. How did they do it? I didn't bring that with me. Do you remember?
I don't have it. I don't think that they separated out preliminary or final. I think that that's for the developer to just take that whole line out, and they know I need a preliminary approval and a final approval. Both of them need to be brought before the plan commission and then recommended to the village board. So if you're saying I want to have approved plans by July 16th, you could work backwards and say, well, then I need to have it to plan commission by the 15th. Well, that doesn't make sense. July 16th, you'd really need it by June 17th to make it to the June 24th Plan Commission meeting so that it could go, you know, on the...
Oh, the difference, yeah, one is Plan Commission, one is Village Board.
Right.
So the drawings have to be submitted for Plan Commission review by a particular date.
Mm-hmm.
It's reviewed by Plan Commission. The earliest it can go before the Village Board...
Right.
Are these other dates. So, and that's if they want to follow the narrowest window of approval process, assuming the plan commission doesn't object to some factor.
I don't know that there needs to be a deadline for village board review, because I think the plan commission, right, they don't submit separately to the village board. They submit once, then the plan commission takes that and recommends it to the village board. I would think either on this process or the other, the site plan review process, I don't know that there needs to be a deadline part for the village board.
Is the deadline when they have to have it submitted so that it gets on the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right.
So then you can say, if you submit on June 17th, you make it onto the June 24th Plan Commission meeting date. if they were to recommend it for approval at that time,
it would
automatically go to the next available, you know, the next village board meeting, which would be July 2nd.
I see what you're saying.
So then there wouldn't be a deadline for board.
The normal process would pass it along to the next meeting.
Right. Yeah.
Correct.
Because then they would never have to submit to the village board by themselves. They would always be submitting. Even if there were reviews, they would submit back.
The dates are important, though, so they know what the timeline is.
Right. This is really an informational thing for the developer, so he knows what the reasonable set of dates are.
Yeah, but I just think that you don't need that column for village board review, deadline for village board review.
Well, they may...
Because they're not.
They're not meeting the deadline.
Meeting that deadline.
Staff would be meeting that deadline. Right?
You're right.
And it would be immediate.
I understand what you're saying, but
it would be immediate if they submitted in time to make it to say the June 24th meeting, and if at that meeting it was recommended, automatically it goes to the next village board. If it wasn't recommended at that time and said no, we need to see more information or we need another approval, then they could come back, you know, July 15th and
let's ask an administrative question first here.
Sure.
Craig, when you require a certain quantity of documents from the applicant to be submitted, okay, do you distribute a portion of those documents to this group, or do you reproduce those separately for this group to have copies?
We require the developer to provide those documents.
Okay.
We don't copy them, so when we get them, we distribute
them. Yeah. So what this is, all this is a date when they have to have all their documents printed and to the village.
So they would do that twice then? So they would submit to us on June 17th?
Because they're not going to get back the documents we have. They printed documents, submitted them to Craig. Craig sends them out to us. Okay, so we have a portion of the documents. Those do not come back to the developer.
But that just means like they would miss a whole month then. Because if we were to recommend on June 24th that it be brought before the board, they would have to submit by that day, but the meeting is that evening, so then they would miss that submittal day by noon on June 24th. They would have to then submit by July 8th. They would have missed that July 2nd meeting.
They still will be, unless it's on both the agendas ahead of time. But then we would have the recommendation from Planning Commission at the board.
Yeah, somehow we have to have a date in here that they can decide if they want to be on the board agenda.
Yeah, and that has to meet the deadline, and sometimes they're just not going to line up because the information, we'll be meeting the board, or we'll be meeting the next night or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be on the agenda. It won't automatically go.
You keep both these tables that you sent in. Because you naturally want to read across.
And it doesn't
the problem.
Doesn't work.
So just make another page.
If you actually separate these, I don't think it's as confusing.
But there actually are two rounds of approvals or recommendations by the Plan Commission and approvals or adjust or changes by the board, right? There's a preliminary approval process and a final approval process. So both of those processes have to, the documents and the request has to flow through both of those processes. So there's four different things that have to happen. The Planning Commission sees it twice, and so does the Village Board. And I just didn't see that when I was putting myself in the place of a developer here. You know. But like you said, if we separate them, maybe that's...
Yeah, I think it should be separate.
Yeah.
It's confusing. I didn't prepare this table. I ended up trying to figure it out.
Now, when this goes to the village board, is this going as a public hearing? And then is that allowing enough time? Because they want the deadline for submittal a week prior to. Is that enough time to get that in the paper for public hearing?
In PDD, the public hearing went, Plan Commission used to have one, and we wiped that out. So now the public hearing is with the village board. So
the preliminary and the final?
No, just the final.
When it goes to the board for the final approval, the board... But the first decision they make is accepting it for final approval.
they schedule the public hearing, and then that's a future date.
Okay.
So this is a little misleading too, because you can assume that you're going to a meeting at the village board for this date, but at that first meeting they have to approve a public hearing and then set a date for it.
Wouldn't it almost be more advantageous just to list the dates that they meet,
right,
and then list, these are the things you have to do, this, this, and this.
Right.
And then you look at your own dates, because I think the way it's laid out, it's pretty, well, if we're all familiar with it, we can't figure it out.
That's how it actually works, because when we get a set of drawings and information and we look at it, there's going to be things that have to be changed. So they'll have to take it back, make their revisions, they set a date that they get it back to us, and then it gets scheduled to come to you. So I don't know how long it's going to take them to make revisions and drawings. Sometimes there's a certified survey that needs to be done. Sometimes there's other things that need to be taken care of. It might take them 3 weeks or 4 weeks to get to the next step. And then they produce another set of drawings.
Yeah. What this allows them to do is apply for review, preliminary review, and final review at the same time, basically. So,
assuming that it all falls into place.
Yeah, they're trying to get on both agendas at once.
Yeah, I haven't seen one fall into place all the
time. But then, going back to the site plan review, there really isn't a preliminary. There's no preliminary and final there, but there's. It doesn't look like, based on the procedure,
the site plan,
that the site plan comes twice.
Yeah, because I don't think it really
goes
through
twice. So then, no, then the preliminary final wouldn't be how it's shown.
The PDD is.
Right, yeah. Not the regular site plan, so that should be removed.
Can you please, Sherry, make one more comment under item 9, just to be aware that the last page, I believe that's correct. I don't think for site plan review there is a preliminary. Any other discussion?
Just some edits to the text. First paragraph, last line. The PDD, instead of saying requires the development of an, I think we should say the PDD becomes a part of the village zoning ordinance specific to the approved development. I think that clarifies what's actually going on.
Say that one more time, Roger, please.
Okay, again, this is the I'm picking up the in the second to last sign. The PDD becomes part of the village zoning ordinance specific to the approved development.
Does it?
Well, yep. It's an entire separate ordinance that's adopted.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Right, but it's in the zoning ordinance.
Yeah.
It's added to a specific section in the zoning ordinance.
So each PDD has its own specific ordinance?
Yeah.
But when you look at the overall zoning ordinance, you won't see it like at the end of the chapter. It's separate.
Anyways, second paragraph, second line, I think special procedures should be special conditions. And then to ensure should be ensure.
Yeah, I don't think the village wants to insure the development.
And in the fifth line at the end, proposed procedures. I don't know what that means. The project can propose procedures. I have no idea what is referred to there.
Was that referring back to the first sentence, so that we would also need to change that to condition?
could be just the PDD must be in accordance with the Turkish period and the Village Comprehensive Plan.
Simply the project must be in accordance with the purpose, spirit, and intent of the Village Comprehensive Plan. Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. What else you got, Roger?
That's it. There are some other things that could be fixed. I won't believe it.
Well, we had, what I had heard earlier is that maybe this should come back, but I would entertain a motion. I guess I'm almost thinking we heard two separate things. One, and maybe the second thing we don't make a motion on tonight, maybe we send it on to the agenda for next month. So first, we can deal with a motion for the PDD and what should we do with this for tonight. But then we also had a good discussion about our process. And should we be encouraging staff early on to bring us development proposals? So instead of the Plan Commission being second fiddle or being after the decisions are made, maybe we can be brought into the process earlier on. But seeing that wasn't on our agenda, I don't want a proposal on it, so I'm asking that be added to the agenda for next month, Jerry. And Tracy can contact probably any one of us. I think we all feel that would be a good discussion to have.
We should make sure we have notes of that discussion in these minutes. So
it is appropriate because it does tie into the discussion of the process. So I think it's a worthy discussion, especially with some of the shortcomings we've had with previous PDDs that have been mentioned again and again tonight. So with that being said, I'd be open to a motion for the Plan Development District Informational Packet. Trustee Dart.
I make a motion that we table it and send it back to staff for further work and look at it at the next meeting.
Sherry, you got a lot of those comments, like discussions on the table in the back, and Roger had a number of changes, and Roger, you gave her? Okay. And I know there was a lot of good discussion on that. But nice, simple, clear motion. Is there a second? Kendra? Any further discussion?
Just to include in that checklist part, this is the same as the site plan review, that the same changes.
Okay. Except we also had talked about, I thought, for the PDD that there'd be some additional checking the ordinance for PDD to make sure that was specific enough.
Maybe as part of the discussion, as part of the motion, maybe I need to include the content of the discussion.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. The motion carries. All right.
Partly why I'm sitting here tonight, because I can go back with Tracy and Kevin and say, here's where you need to go.
Moving on to item number 11, approval of the 2012 annual report. Hopefully you've all had a chance to review it. Is there any comments on the first? We'll just do pages 1 and 2. We've been kicking this around for a while.
I hate sentence and composition.
Go ahead, rip my writing. It's fine.
There's the second bullet point and the fourth bullet point.
So what do you want?
The planning and zoning opportunities. Which we need to be aware of.
Which you need to be aware and get rid of?
Move
of. Of which we need to be aware.
What's that, Roger?
Of which we need to be aware.
Oh, of which we need to be aware. For the next year report, I'll know who to nominate to help write it. And also under 1, 2, you said, okay, and for 4, okay.
For which the Plan Commission is responsible. Okay.
Sherry, you got those?
What was the second one?
What should be, for which?
Which?
You could just say planning and zoning opportunities and needs.
Where is that, Craig? Is that?
Second paragraph.
Or needs and get rid of to address. Okay. So future planning and zoning opportunities or needs, period. Hey, that works. Anything else on page 2? Hearing nothing, page 3? It is helpful to document, I mean, to look back, like, hey, what year, what is the Safe Routes to School plan? Did we adopt it? I guess the other thing that's helpful, if we do comprehensive plan updates in the future, we can track what years things have been done instead of guessing, oh, yeah, I remember we did that years ago. Yeah, I don't remember when. Nothing on page 3. Anything on page 4?
Just a grammar thing on the fourth bullet point. Second line, the meeting purpose is to discuss if there are any historic districts. Is there a word we can use? Are any historic districts?
Are any, yeah.
It's still not the best sentence, the word if in there, but.
Well, we can get rid of, I mean, technically,
we don't need that second sentence.
We've already met with the Historic Commission last year, so I mean, it's something we've already done, so we could just say, like, continue meeting with the Historic Preservation Commission. So really, we could probably shorten.
We just get rid of the second sentence altogether?
Starting with the meeting purpose?
Mm-hmm.
We can, because we've already started. I thought it was very helpful just to introduce ourselves to them and them to us, and we just sent them the mural wall idea. So,
and we meet on Wednesday. Now we are going through that initial survey to identify the intensive survey to identify the historically significant properties in the village, and the consultant has identified 750 historically significant structures and two potential historic districts that have been approved by the State Historic Society.
Mm-hmm.
So their report should be completed either in July or August, so we'll have more information. I know you have the date May 2013, but maybe something more towards the fall that we have a concrete survey in hand from them that we'd be able to look at.
Should we just move that? No. Should we just say fall?
Why don't we change? This is just talking about 1 year. We could simply change the whole thing to say engage the Historic Preservation Committee annually in a joint working meeting.
We can do that. If mm-hmm. potentially you're going to have historic districts, we're going to have to sit down and talk. What does that mean? Does that mean signage? Does that mean a certain look? Does that mean, I mean, how far do we take that? That would definitely be. Mm-hmm. But why don't we let you guys drive it? And it is helpful that you're on both committees, so that gives us a liaison into that group. So let's change May 2013 to fall. I was trying to take a guess, and boy, I haven't went back and revised the dates just to keep us moving so we had something that we're shooting for as a target. But if stuff slips by a month or two, that happens also. Anything else on page 4? Is there anything else under opportunities to improve? I mean, maybe we should add in our discussion about staff involving the Plan Commission earlier in the process. I mean, we could just put that in, like I said, a conceptual stage.
How do you want to word it? Do you want to word it as it's on, if it's worded as staff, that puts the onus on them? If they say we should be involved more, it puts the onus on us.
But if staff doesn't tell us about it, we don't get involved. I mean, I don't know about it, I can't get involved in it.
Work with staff to be more involved.
Sure, we can work with staff to be more involved in the conceptual planning process of development or redevelopment. And I don't see this isn't more work. This is just basically an update on what's happening. So, I mean, even if Tracy didn't write down like a memo, like Tracy does a fantastic job from what we used to get, spelling out everything, what we're supposed to do, emotion, yes. I mean, I don't see this as, maybe she doesn't even have to type stuff up if she shows up and says, hey, we have three developers that are looking at this, this, and this. This is kind of where we're thinking we need to go. You need a zoning, you need a conditional use permit, you need whatever.
Yeah, but
that'll be an announcement. She could do that as an announcement. Yep. And then also, when do they anticipate if the development moves forward that we're going to see it? Are we going to see it in 2 months, 3 months? Are we going to see it now? Anything else on page 5?
Can I just back up to that point?
You can.
At that point, is this still like private information? Because this is a public meeting.
That's something we have to look at because it could be.
Yeah, because maybe the developer doesn't want it known yet.
Right, exactly. So that's something we have to be aware of.
But what happens if we don't give any specific information? I guess that's something you could talk over with Tracy or the attorney as appropriate. I mean, can you say we're looking at something in an area and?
Well, yeah. I think, for example, tomorrow with the meeting that we have tomorrow, then we can pose the question. And then we'll know what how the developer feels about it, and whether it can be discussed or not, and at what point can it be. We do get inquiries that never reach beyond a couple of people. I mean, half of them are that. Nobody ever knows about it.
Yep.
It's asked to be confidential. There's information that we provide, and it maybe never goes anywhere.
But you never know which ones do go that we should be aware of.
What I'm referring to is when we actually have something that is starting to move forward, where it appears to be some substance, appears to be a real merit that it's going to proceed. That's when, you know, for your benefit, that would be the type of thing that we should bring forward so you're aware of it. Then you're in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go from there. And you'll know what the game plan is.
Anything else on the rest of the document? We did take off the emails, Roger, as you had suggested. I know we took off like some of the former members that are no longer members that we had on here.
I had a question about the dates that appear after each of our names.
Yes.
What do they mean?
The date is, for example, my term could be done next month. I've been told that I have the opportunity to serve another 3-year commitment with you guys because I love the Planning Commission so much. So that's your expiration date. When are you done with your term? So and then some of the other dates, now like Barb is lucky, or unfortunate, depends on your perspective, you were appointed as a regular member. For myself, in 2007, when I signed up for the Planning Commission, I was an alternate 3. It took me years before I finally got to actually come to the meetings. So, and that's why when we get into the Planning Commission, or the review of the comprehensive plan, I want to have Judy as our alternate invited, because it's very tough to say someone's sick and now you're going to bring an alternate that knows nothing about our comprehensive plan. Good luck. Because I was there and I'm like, yeah, what's this conversation about you want me to vote on? I don't know any of the background or history, really? So we're not going to put people into that. At least we'll give Judy the opportunity to participate if she wants to.
So
does that answer your question?
So I picked my name.
Sure.
Because it says I was appointed as a regular member 10/16/12. And it says 4/30/14.
Right, so next year is when your term would be up.
But they're 3-year terms.
No, they're not all. There's different years at different times.
Yeah.
So like I never had a 3-year term. Now I'm being told, I said, hey, my kids are getting older, I might not want a 3-year term. That's your choice. You either get a 3-year term or you don't.
Howard's completing Blues.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
That's correct.
Yeah, and I must be completing somebody's too, because so they probably stagger them and...
Trustee Dart, I don't know if you have a choice. You may, as a trustee, I think you might just be on this for a long time, but for the rest of us, there are terms.
Mr. Gingrich might be able to come back. Oh.
I think you're completing Lou's term and Howard's completing Jim's.
And I think you're right.
That's the way it is. So.
Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, okay. So there are 3-year terms, but when you're completing, you don't start fresh.
Right.
Right.
And I think it is nice to see the history of some of the members, where they bumped up or how they served, and so it doesn't hurt. It's not a big deal. We technically probably should have the village president here as an ex officio member, because if Trustee Dart could not attend, my understanding was the village president could fill in.
Yeah.
My only concern was, I don't have the concern now. We have a good, robust membership that shows up. But for a while, I was worried about quorum. So I'm like, if he comes here, I want him voting, because we're not going to have enough people to have a meeting. I don't have that concern for now, but we should probably clarify, if we add him, could he vote if Trustee Dart couldn't be here? I would hope he would. With that, the Plan Commission is asked to make a recommendation. All right, Trustee Dart.
I move that we approve the 2012 annual report with any changes that were talked about.
Sure, are you comfortable with the changes we heard? Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Roger. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Thank you. Good discussion. Let's move on to agenda topic 13. Set next two meeting dates, April 22nd and May 27th, which is Memorial Day, and agenda items. Oh, I just skipped. Boy, I'm trying to get out of here because it's 9 o'clock.
I'll make a motion on 12.
Yes.
I motion to put that on the next agenda.
Thank you, Trustee Dart. Is there a second?
Second.
Roger, second. Any discussion? There's a motion on the floor that we table, because I've already skipped it, agenda topic 12, and move it to next month's agenda, because it is late.
Well, the way I see it, I'm just kidding.
You know, maybe we should deal with that and come up with subcommittees. I know who would nominate and chair one all by themselves. All right. We have a motion on the floor that has been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Now we'll move on to agenda topic 13 to set the next meeting, two meeting dates. As far as April 22nd, did that work for most people? I didn't. Did Tracy have any concerns with April 22nd, or just she was just asked?
I think she preferred you pick a different
day. Oh, what, you don't want to hang out with this group anymore, Craig? Or?
No, I said she.
What's the reason for that?
I don't.
Is there a problem?
That's a Memorial Day holiday.
No, April. There's 2 days she asked for.
22nd is fine.
Okay, so April 22nd we'll keep at 6:30.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so that's fine for everybody. That's a regular meeting.
Oh, it's Earth Day.
I did notice that was Earth Day.
And then for May 27th, I agree, that's Memorial Day. I guess I just threw out, we have a couple different options. One, we could cancel the meeting for the month. But we might not want to cancel the meeting, especially after our discussion with the Conference of Plan and how do we want to move forward with that. Or for my schedule, we could move it up to Monday, May 20th at 6:30. I don't know if there's other committees that are meeting here. I guess it all depends how much of an agenda we have.
There's not usually a lot of Monday meetings here.
Mm-mm.
I think moving it up to the 20th is a good idea.
Okay. So then we'll, Sherry, if you can put that in the calendar for we're going to move the May 27th meeting to Monday, May 20th at 6:30. So we'll need the calendar updated, the monthly calendar for that. If there's nothing else, moving on to agenda topic 14, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
By Roger, is there a second? Adam, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Did we need to look at the agenda items? Or no?
Well, I kind of gave a lot of agenda topics to Sherry, but we can do the draft version. Typically, I've been going through the draft versions. And I guess that's something if members do have things that you want covered, you can send it to me. Tracy does a great job sending me the agenda topics, and then I normally add stuff to them. And that gets us away from, we've had concerns in the past where the Planning Commission hasn't seen the agendas, and then we show up and then we make all these changes, and then we're told that we're in violation or we're making changes to the agenda at the meeting. So, if nothing else, I want to thank everybody for their discussion. A lot of discussion, more discussion than I thought, but have a good evening.
Well, for historic preservation,